people who choose to be happy, they love what they do. And by nature, by default, they're going to get more things done because they're not looking for the bad stuff about it. Like, oh man, I got to go to this meeting. Right. I got to write this PowerPoint. I got to write this newsletter. No, they're like, man, I get to do this PowerPoint. I get to go to this meeting. And it's the same thing. We're both doing the same thing. But instead of saying I have to go to a Zoom meeting, I get to go to a Zoom meeting. Maybe I can help someone at the Zoom meeting. It's just how we frame things.
Welcome back to another episode of Success in Mind. You are in for such a good episode today. If you have ever struggled with your productivity or you want to improve productivity, maybe you have tasks that are just not getting done. Maybe you've heard of morning routines and the importance of them, but you just can never seem to figure it out. This episode is for you. Today, I'm joined by Mark Strachewski, a productivity coach based in Houston and the host of the Mr. Productivity podcast. He is dedicated to guiding executives to master the art of productivity. With a rich experience of over 1,265 podcast episodes, his goal is to empower individuals to overcome distractions, prioritize tasks effectively, and achieve daily clarity. You are in for an amazing episode today. You're listening to Success in Mind with Terry Holland, the show for high-performing entrepreneurs, leaders, and changemakers ready to take your life and your business to the next level. If you're ready for whole life success, keep listening. Welcome to the show, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on today.
I am thrilled to be here.
I'm really curious about your podcast. I want to start there. Why don't you give us some insight into what your show's about and what the inspiration was behind your show?
Well, the inspiration is the easy part of that question. In the spring of 2017, I happened to catch a video from Gary Vaynerchuk. And he said, the future is voice and audio, and everyone needs to have a podcast. So I thought to myself, I said, I listen to podcasts. Could I start a podcast? So I went into Google and typed those fateful words, how do I start a podcast? Mm-hmm. And I launched mine on July 7th, 2017. And I'll never forget that first episode. It was just me. I was in my home office recording into the software I was using at the time. And I was sweating bullets. I don't know why. I was so nervous. Now I've got well over 1,260 episodes. And I have rebranded it in December 2022. A coach of mine said, look, I know you love your name, but the Mark Strachewski podcast, no, people are not going to find that. So I rebranded it to the Mr. Productivity podcast. Amazing. More people are finding my podcast. It's a miracle. And so I talk about productivity and I love talking about productivity and I love the whole space about productivity. And I love the Mr. Productivity moniker so much. I actually trademarked. I paid like a gazillion dollars to get the trademark. So I can use the TM on my website and everywhere else. So I love the podcast platform because unlike social media, you and I own the podcast, which is really nice. So if we get booted off a social media website or whatever, for whatever reason, we still have our podcast. And I love the fact that you and I are talking in people's ears right now because nobody has a podcast listening party. And so they may be out on a walk, on a run, riding their bike, on an airplane, going on vacation, and we're actually in their ears. And I think that is so cool.
It's very cool. Very cool. Why productivity? What got you into that?
Well, I used to tell people it started when I was fired from my job back in 2005. And I didn't want to go back to the corporate world and get a real job like most people do. So I decided I'm going to start my own business. Now, keep in mind, this is 2005. I went into portrait and wedding photography, which failed. But remember, this is 2005. Facebook was launched in 2004, LinkedIn in 2003. There was none of these other platforms out there. So you had those two platforms. You had email marketing. You had direct mail. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I remember there was someone in my Bible study class who was a professional speaker. Now, a little context, I like to speak in front of empty rooms, literally nobody in the room. And here I am asking to be a professional speaker. Well, they guided me, go to Toastmasters, go to the National Speakers Association. And I got through that. And people said, man, you're a great communicator. But I didn't want to talk about photography. So I had invested in a coach. And I identify as Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. But I was having an Eeyore moment. And he said, what's going on? I said, I love talking. I love speaking, training, coaching, but I don't know what my topic should be. And he said, well, why don't you talk about productivity? And I remember saying to him, well, I don't know where that came from, but why would you say that? He goes, I know a lot of people, and you are the most naturally gifted, productive person I know. You should share that gift to the world. That's where the story used to start. But then I realized I have to give credit to my late parents because I was raised, I was born in 1965. I got to say 19 because eventually this podcast is going to be at 2065. And I got to reference 1965. And I was an only child. And I had to do chores a certain way at a certain time. When I came home from school, I had to do a certain thing, set the table, clean the table, do the dishes before, before there were dishwashers. And so I have to credit my parents for actually giving me that foundation of being a productivity guy. I did not know I was going to be Mr. Productivity at age 8, but I have to give credit to my parents for my foundation.
That's amazing. I love how you found your way into that. And I find that with so many entrepreneurs that I speak to is they end up doing something that they never imagined they would do, but it was kind of always there. They just couldn't see it, that they were supposed to be doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And I love stories like that. When it comes to our productivity, what impacts productivity? What stops us from being productive? And then how can we change it? How do we improve?
The number one obstacle to our productivity is who we see reflected back to us when we look in the mirror. We are our biggest reasons why we're not being productive. So let's start there. And from there, we can go into most people are just going through life winging it. They don't have a plan. They're hoping that they get the right things done. And so when people come to me, I'm like, okay, we need to start at the beginning. Because every sporting league, when you go back from the off season, you go back to training camp. So you could be Tom Brady. He's still throwing footballs. The punters are still punting. They know how to do this stuff, but they go back to the basics. And what I tell my clients and I teach my clients, we go back to the very basics. I don't care what you know and what you don't know, what you tried, you haven't tried. Let's set the foundation, like I just alluded to with my parents. We have to get on the same page.
Yeah.
And when I tell people that the reason why they're not productive is probably their fault, they kind of look at me like, my fault? Yeah, I mean, you get to choose what you do every day, every hour, every minute. And once I can get people to understand and take ownership that their productivity is their responsibility, then it's almost like this light bulb goes off and like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that before. And then we take off from there and then I give them really specific suggestions, tactics, tips, however you want to phrase it.
Can you give us maybe some ideas of tools we can be using to help our productivity? Because I see so many tools coming out. And it seems like every day there's a new ad on my Instagram for something new. And I end up going back to just the notes on my phone. And that seems to be the simplest for me. But I'm kind of intrigued by some of these other programs out there and thinking maybe I'm missing something.
You're not missing anything. I am a big fan of simplicity. I always tell people, maybe not chase the squirrel, maybe not chase the bright, shiny object. I love my notes app on my phone and my computer. Now, have you tried Notion? I have not done anything with Notion. I got a free account with Notion because everyone's sharing with me these Notion things. And like, whatever happened to sharing your Google Doc? What is Notion? So I have, as a productivity guy, I have to learn about Notion. But I believe that there's something about using the stuff that already comes pre-installed on your phone, on your computer. People are procrastinating. I'm going to call it what it is, Terry.
Yeah.
They're procrastinating. They're saying, well, maybe if I go get this new app, I love the icon. I love the colors.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not going to solve your problem. It may be, but maybe it won't. And I think people need to zoom out, pause, do a timeout and say, okay, wait, is it me or is it the app? Because right. I think it's funny when people go out and buy a new app and they go, I got this new app. It does A, B, C, D, and E. I'm like, that's what the built-in app does. Oh, mm-hmm. It does? Yeah. And they didn't explore it. They just assumed because it was built-in, it was garbage. Well, maybe it's a great app for you. And I think people are fascinated by the newness, why we buy new cars, why we get a new iPhone every year. We like the newness, but I still have an iPhone 13 Pro Max because it still works. There's nothing wrong with it. So why would I want to spend more money, give more money to the Tim Cook coffers when I have a product that works? And I think that's part of the reason why we like going for the new stuff, even though the old stuff is working just fine.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned Notion, because I got into Notion and I spent one night, I went down the rabbit hole watching these YouTube videos of how to set up your Notion and how to create all these pages. And then finally I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is, how is this a productivity tool if it's taking me hours to figure out how to set it up the way I want it?
And yep.
Went right back to the notebook on my phone.
I've got the saying that complexity is the gateway to procrastination. Mm-hmm. And because you mentioned simplicity earlier, and I think that it's easy to go down that rabbit hole. I had a client of mine once who would go from to-do list app, to-do list app, to-do list app. And of course, every time he switched, he had to reset the new app. He had to learn how to use the new app. And I'm like, is it really worth it? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, but I like the new app. I'm like, why? And like, I'm not a psychologist, but I was fascinated. He would go through the pain of spending a weekend, probably every 3 to 4 months, switching, moving everything from one app to another app. And I'm like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And he admitted to me, no, it's not, but the app is cool. I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but think of all the time you're wasting setting up a new app. And then he would sometimes go back to an older app, and then he'd go back to another older app. I'm like, what are you doing? It's a waste of time. It's like when people are looking for, like, I love journaling, okay?
Yeah,
I love print journals. But you can go down the rabbit hole, the procrastination rabbit hole, looking for the perfect journal. It doesn't exist. The perfect app doesn't exist. I just want your listeners to understand that.
Yes. I hear that a lot from my clients about journals, so I'm really glad you mentioned that. I just get like the plain black notebook from Staples and I use this, like it fills up, I go get another one. Like just simple, easy, same thing every time. I don't even look at other ones anymore.
I think there's something to be said if you find a journal that you like. It's kind of like me, I'm a daily runner. So I have running shoes, and when I buy new running shoes, I buy the same ones, the newest version, but I buy the same ones. Because it's trusted. Runners don't usually switch shoes.
Right.
I found a journal I really love. It's by a company called Gallery Leather. And it's nice. So I found my journal. And every time I need a new one, I buy another one of those. I don't go out and look for what else is out there because what I have works. And I think if everyone gets one thing out of this interview here, that they would go, you know what? Maybe what I already have works, and I'm going to put a moratorium on going and looking for a new journal or a new app. If what I have works, I'm going to take a step back and maybe just say, I either a moratorium or you have to get permission from two other people, maybe your spouse and maybe your friend.
Oh.
Because when I want to buy something for the business, I now go to my wife, who's my business partner, but she'll ask me why, and she'll go, why do we need this? And I want to say it's cool. I want to say it's a cool icon. I mean, I have to explain it. And then she won't give me a yes or no answer. She'll go research it. And then she'll come back and she, do you know that what you have now does A, B, and C, but this one only does A and B? I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I just got infatuated with the new app. And so I encourage people to harness the power of accountability. And if you're susceptible of always buying the new app, new journal, whatever it is, then go ask someone and say, listen, you're going to be my accountability partner when I want to purchase something new. But I want you to ask me why. And I have to convince you, because that's going to stop people from wasting their time. It is wasting time looking for something new when what you already have works just fine.
Oh, that's such a great tip. I love that. I almost bought a new water bottle a few weeks ago because I thought I needed it. And I was like, ooh, this one's a better size for me and I can hold it more easily. And I like the color. And my husband went into the cupboard and he pulled out all the water bottles I've bought over the years. And he was like, why don't you use one of these? Like, oh.
That's hysterical.
He's like, the point of a water bottle, Terry, is so you don't create more waste. Like, stop. Stop buying new ones. Just use what you have.
That's hysterical.
It was a really good lesson.
So how many water bottles do you have in?
Oh, I don't even know. Too many, far too many. And so I've been committed to drinking out of my Yeti, which was the most recent new one. And
okay.
He was like, that one's fine. Just use that. That's what I'm doing.
So you have a built-in accountability, as do I. That's pretty
nice. Yeah, they're great for that.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. How about, can you talk to us a little bit about some of the daily routines we can be setting up that help us to be more productive and stay on top of our game?
Yes. Now, when I get asked this question, most people think I'm going to start with the morning routine. I'm not. A good morning routine starts the night before.
Yes.
So I'm going to run through my current routine, and then you can ask me questions based on that. So
perfect.
I go screens off around 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 7:15, I let the dogs out. Who let the dogs out? I let the dogs out. And then I make sure the house is all locked up, and then I go in my room, and I actually will journal for a couple minutes, and then I'll read my Kindle. I'm not on my phone anymore. I'm reading my Kindle until about 7:45. At 7:45, I turn off all the lights. I climb into bed with my Kindle because I want to be my body to know, okay, we're in the last 15 minutes. I'm asleep by 8 o'clock every night.
Nice.
Then I wake up between 4:30 and 5:30. I don't use an alarm clock. I'm a solopreneur, so I work. Do my own thing. I wake up, and 6 days a week, I do the Tim Ferriss 30-30-30 protocol, which is 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking, followed by 30 minutes of moderate exercise.
Nice.
So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I start, I open my timer, the built-in timer on my Apple Watch. I didn't go out and get another app, and I set it for 30 minutes because that's a 30-minute window for me. I get up, and I shave my head every morning. Then I go make my breakfast. My wife cooks the night before. It's usually two scrambled eggs if people are interested in the minutia. Two scrambled eggs, a half a cup of organic black beans, and four breakfast sausages. It's about 40 grams of protein. When that's done, every other day I will lift weights. If it's not a weightlifting day, we have a long hallway, and I walk up and down my hallway while reading my Kindle. Now, we don't have little ones. I walk as fast as I can to close my exercise ring of 30 minutes. When I'm done with that, then I journal. So the first thing I write in my journal every day are my 5 2024 goals. I believe it's important to write your goals down every day, not think about them. Write them down every day. Then there's 5 journal prompts. I don't know if I have them all memorized. It's like, what's one thing I'm grateful for? One thing I've got to do? One thing I'm excited about? One virtue I want to exhibit? And I think one thing that I'm avoiding. I write that out. And then something new I've just started yesterday and I forgot this morning is it's something I learned from Robin Sharma. It's like you write a paragraph to preload your day. Like, what do you think is going to happen today? Like, write your dream day in miniature.
Nice.
When that's done, I do a lesson. I do a Lingo, although I've canceled my membership with them. I've got almost a 1500 day streak, but it's not speaking joy to me anymore. So I may let that go. And then I wait patiently. No, I wait impatiently for the sun to wake up because I'm a daily runner, as I alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
And I won't run in the dark. So as soon as the sun wakes up from its night sleep time, then I go out for a run. I come home from that and I ground outside bare feet in the ground, if you're not familiar with that, for 15 minutes. Even if it's cold, I grounded when it was 25 degrees here in Houston. And when I'm done with that, I go in and take a shower, which is followed by a cold shower. It's something I learned from Gary Brecka. If you're not, if cold showers don't appeal to you, take your normal shower, warm as you want it to be. When you're all done rinsing, then turn it to all cold and stand there for 1 to 3 minutes. I'm up to like 2 minutes and 5 seconds. When I'm done with that, it's ready to rock and roll for the rest of the day. Now,
Nice.
Remember, I told you I do the 30-30-30 protocol 6 days a week. I'm doing Tim Ferriss's slow carb diet, which allows for a cheat day.
Oh.
Saturdays are my cheat day. So I can have, and I do have anything I want. Last Saturday, I had cream puffs. I had 30 cream puffs for breakfast. But
wow.
It's working because 6 days a week, I'm low carb. And I've lost over 12 pounds, and I feel spectacular.
Nice.
I got a lot of energy. So it's really important. You notice how I did it. I did the evening routine. Mm-hmm. My body knows when I pick up my Kindle and it's dark out, my body starts shutting down. My battery's almost empty by 8 o'clock. And then I wake up without an alarm clock. I'm never in a hurry. And I do my morning routine. Now, I understand some of your listeners may have kids they have to get off to school. They may have little ones that have to be. Everyone has a morning routine. The problem is most people's morning routine is chaotic. It changes every day. I encourage everyone listening to the show today to step back and go, how can I create a morning routine that's going to work for me? This may involve you getting up early. Let's say your kiddos get up at 6:30 for school. I'm just picking that number out of thin air. Maybe you get up, instead of getting up at 6, you get up at 5:30. And then maybe you go on the back porch and all you do is you just sit there and just watch the wildlife in your backyard, if you like a deer or something like that, if you have that in your backyard, or you're watching the sunrise. Create a routine that you can start your day on your terms, instead of, because you're going to get all this bombarding later on in the day. You have the most control of your day in the morning. A lot of people keep hitting the snooze button over and over again, and then they're in a state of chaos, a state of overwhelm. And I just encourage people to control your mornings, and you will have much better days.
That's a great tip. If people have, like, if they're starting to think of that morning routine or starting to build it out, what would be the one thing you think every morning routine should have?
Wow, one thing? Mm-hmm. Well, I think, wow, you're really nailing me down here. One thing. Because I think exercise is important in the morning. I think journaling is an important thing in the morning. If I only had to pick one thing, I would say to move when you first get up. So I get up and like, now I know everyone doesn't have a long hallway like I do. But I think whether you're lifting weights or you're getting on the treadmill or your exercise bike, or you go for your walk, I think you need to move because you've been unconscious for 6 to 9 hours and you need to purge that cortisol. So I encourage people to move. Now, I'm not saying get up, put your shoes on and run a marathon, but I'm saying move around. I mean, there's this thing everybody goes by, 10,000 steps a day. Well, maybe that should be your first goal. I'm hitting 15,000 to 17,000 steps. As you can tell in the video, I went out and bought a stand-up desk because I read a book called Built to Move. And they said, we're sitting too much. And our goal should be to sit 6 hours or less a day. So now when I do these interviews, I have a stand-up desk. We should be standing more than we are. So I'm constantly standing. When my wife and I are watching a news program or something at night, I will actually put the news program on and I'll like walk around. We have a living room and a dining room. And I'll actually walk around there for 10 or 15 minutes. I like to move because we were designed to move. We were not created to sit behind our computers on endless Zoom calls.
Yeah, absolutely. I recently heard Shalene Johnson talking about how her new habit is that if she wants to scroll social media, she paces around her living room while she does it. She's not allowed to sit and scroll. So she has to be up and moving. And I thought, what a great idea.
Yes, I love that because so many people are on their phones and on the audio podcast, you can't see this, but they're doing this. And what they're finding out is people have neck injuries now because they're always up and down.
Yeah.
And I do this weird thing. Now, the reading walks, I don't just do in my house. I take a reading walk after lunch and after dinner because it helps with the digestion. And people go, now, it's not weird now because people think I'm on my phone. But I used to read print hardcover books while I was walking. People, how do you do that? Well, to make it even more interesting is I'm blind in my left eye. The nerve didn't develop from the brain to the eyeball of the brain. How do you do that? I said, I don't know. I just tried it one day. Instead of listening to a podcast, I go out and read. And people go, that's crazy. I'm like, have you ever tried it? And so I love reading, walking. reading walks. And now when my wife and I go to the local parks to run, well, she walks, I run, I do it much faster than she does. So what I do is I always bring my Kindle. I do my running, then come back, grab my Kindle, and I'll go back and do some walking until she finishes up. So nice. I like to stay movement. I'm 58 years old, and I want to run a mile on my 110th birthday. So it's 52 years from now. In order to do that, I've got to take care of myself. I can't be sitting down for 10, 12 hours a day.
Fantastic. How do you stay motivated? What do you do to keep your motivation high?
I love this question. Like I talked about earlier, I identify as Tigger. I wake up every morning like I did when I was a little child, Christmas morning, couldn't wait to see what Santa Claus brought me. I think you need to figure out what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. For so long, I made the mistake of chasing money. And I was getting frustrated because when I got fired from my job in 2005, 6, 7, 8, 10, 2012, wasn't making any money. I mean, literally no money.
Wow.
And then, I mean, I think I made $50,000 from 2005 to the end of 2021. And my wife was very supportive. And the reason why is I was focused on the money. I wasn't focused on my happiness. I was like trying to chase a headless chicken around. And then it dawned on me one day, I go a lot of training and I read a lot of books. I'm like, oh, if you chase money, you'll never catch it. And then I hear a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk, and he says, you got to be patient and you got to chase happiness. And he shared this story, which resonates. I share it every time I, every chance I get. He says, I know people make $50,000 a year and they get to go all their kids' events and they're always there for family meals and they're happy.
Yeah.
And I know people have $50 million in the bank who are miserable. He goes, you got to find out what makes you happy. Now, I would love to have happiness and tons of wealth, but if I had to choose, I would always choose happiness first because I don't have health problems because I tend to be happy. Okay. Now, I'm not Tigger all the time. I do have my bad days, but I think we need to figure out what makes us happy. And it may not make you a lot of money. I know people who are doing things that they're barely over poverty, but they're so happy. And I would think that they're wealthier than the 50 millionaire who is not happy.
Yes. Yeah. So what do you do when you have those bad days? How do you get yourself out of it?
Well, walking outside really helps. I like to, we have two dogs. One is a 56 pound lab mix. It's a rescue. We've had her since she was 2 years old. She'll be 6 this April. We have her new sister. My father unexpectedly passed away in April 2023. And so we adopted her and they're figuring out things out. She's 11. Mm-hmm. Our other dog will be 6. But I wake up and it's like, if I'm not having a good day, I'm like, well, I woke up today. I mean, that's a plus. And I can still see and I love to read. And sometimes walking outside really boosts my energy because you see people and you say hello to them and stuff like that. But I just think people need to choose happiness. And I'm on this quest to change the spelling of happiness, by the way. You ever see the Will Smith movie from 2006 where he's called Happiness and spelled with a Y?
Yeah.
I think we need to spell happiness with a Y instead of an I. So whenever I post about happiness online, I always spell it HAPPYNESS. And I always put in parentheses, I said, this is a nod to the Will Smith movie. I think we should spell happiness with a Y, in my opinion, because it's got the word happy in it, right?
Yeah.
But it's not going too far, but I just encourage people to write happiness with a Y. Let's spread this because I think happiness is so important because I can tell you, happy people tend to be way more productive than people who are curmudgeons, who are Eeyores.
Ah, interesting. Why is that? What's the connection between happiness and productivity?
Because if you start the day as an Eeyore or as a curmudgeon, you're already behind the proverbial eight ball. You're already like, I got to go here. I got this meeting. And I choose to look at life as a positive thing because I'm only going to be here. I'm a vapor. Even if I make it to 110, in the grand scheme of things, it's a vapor. And I think that when you're happy, you have all these endorphins and you're like, oh man, I love life. And you don't see the clouds. Like if you ask an Eeyore, what's the weather like? Oh, it's partly cloudy. If you ask the tiger, oh, it's partly sunny. We see the same sky, but we look at it totally different. And I think people who choose to be happy, they love what they do. And by nature, by default, they're going to get more things done because they're not looking for the bad stuff about it. Like, oh, man, I got to go to this meeting. Right. I got to write this PowerPoint. I got to write this newsletter. No, they're like, man, I get to do this PowerPoint. I get to go to this meeting. And it's the same thing. We're both doing the same thing. But instead of saying I have to go to a Zoom meeting, I get to go to a Zoom meeting. Maybe I can help someone at the Zoom meeting. It's just how we frame things. That's my thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I agree. What's your take on work-life balance?
Interesting. When I think of work-life balance, I think of the proverbial bicycle wheel. If the wheel is not trued up, if it's wobbly, you could fall down and hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think people need to stop working 10, 12, 15, 20 hours a day. Now, maybe you have to do this for small periods of time. If you've got a big launch or something, but some people think it's a badge of courage to always be pushing that rope. Yeah. And then when you talk to them, they're always tired and they're always getting they always seem to get the new virus or illness that comes out because their immune system's weakened because they don't take time. Now, I'm speaking as a solopreneur, so I live in Houston. So if it's a bright, sunny day, I go outside in just my shorts. I'm getting vitamin D. My bare feet are on the ground. I'm reading my Kindle. I understand everybody can't do that. I get it. Okay. But you need to figure out what can you do that's going to make you feel better so you have a better work-life balance. Maybe you would try to convert yourself from Eeyore to Christopher Robin or Winnie the Pooh or even Tigger and just have that attitude. Because if you're happy, you're not stressed because you're working all the time. Now, I love what I do, but I have a hard rule. I'm done at 4 p.m. my time. I start working at 8 o'clock. I'm done by 4 o'clock. That's it. I'm done. I spend time with my wife. Maybe go for a walk with the dogs. But I also, like I said, I do walks after lunch. I do walks after dinner to help with the digestion. And I understand not everybody could do that. If you've got 5 kids and they're at different grades, you have to figure out how it works for you. There's no more magic formula that you just plug in. You're going to have to take what I say and what you say and other people say and just figure out how you create a system that works for you. There is a system, I promise you, there is a system that works for you.
Let's talk about the number one way to be seen, to be heard, and to grow your business in 2024. Podcasts. In a world where information overload is the norm and attention spans are shrinking, podcasts offer a refreshing escape. But why do you need a podcast in 2024? Well, let me tell you. Podcasts provide a platform for authentic connection. Podcasts offer a more intimate way to engage with your audience, fostering genuine relationships and building a loyal community around your brand and message. And podcasts are a gateway to endless opportunities. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a thought leader in your field, or simply passionate about a topic, launching a podcast allows you to amplify your voice, share your expertise, and make a meaningful impact in the world. So if you're on the fence about starting a podcast, now is a time to take the plunge. Join the podcasting revolution and let your voice be heard in 2024 and beyond. The link is in the show notes to join my next 5-day Launch Your Podcast Challenge. Now back to today's episode. Now I have some rapid fire questions I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
If you're willing.
I am willing.
What's your favorite business or mindset book?
The 5 a.m. Club with Robin Sharma.
Oh, it's a great one. Favorite food?
I am so boring when it comes to this. My wife is like an adventurer. Yes. My favorite food, I would have to say something about crispy fried chicken, although I can only have it my cheat day because it's got bread in it.
Yeah. But. Wow. You know what? I think I've had more people say fried chicken than any other food on this show, and it amazes me. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Complainers. People who complain instead of offering a solution. Like before my father passed away, he was complaining about all the stuff that's going on over in Ukraine. And I'm like, Dad, Are you going to go over there and fight? He goes, no, like, you got to let it go. You can't worry about everything. And I could never convince him. He was stuck in his ways, but he would complain about this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, Dad, you can't do anything about it. And a lot of people, they like to complain. Like, I get hate comments every once in a while on a video I post online. I'm like, really? That's your life by putting hate comments on there? I feel sorry for these people. I truly do.
Yeah, absolutely. Who inspires you?
Right now, it's Robin Sharma. Mm-hmm. I'm going through a lot of his training, and he talks a lot about mindset. And in the beginning, back in 2005, I'm like, mindset. It's a bunch of hooey. But now I understand if you don't have your mindset, nothing else matters. You've got to have the right mindset. And I believe that if you don't have the right mindset, it's going to be difficult to have any success in life.
Great. Three things you take with you to a deserted island.
Number one, the Bible. Number two, I hope I can combine these, journal and something to write with. Can I make that one?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. What sense is a journal if you can't write with anything? And the third thing, not people, right? We're not talking about living
things. Sure, it can be. Whatever.
Oh, I would take my wife, of course. I take my wife.
Nice. And what if we weren't including people? I'm curious what your other option would have been.
Well, I'm going to say my running shoes, because it may be rocky there, and I gotta run every day.
You gotta run, of course. Of course you do. Who's a celebrity that you would like to have dinner with, dead or alive?
Robin Sharma.
Nice.
Watching his videos, it's just, I'd love to meet this guy at some point.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. I love music, too. There are so many songs. Yeah. Well, there's this song by a Christian artist. I'm a Christian, and I love Christian music. Toby Mac, he's got a song called Mac Daddy. And it's a song about his son wanting to get a MacBook. And it's a funny song. It's got a good jaunty beat to it. And so whenever it comes up on my playlist, I always send it to my daughter because she wants the Mac by Toby Mac.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds like a good one. Do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom you'd like to share before we finish up?
I would encourage people to live their own life. Hmm. I have been on this slow carb diet since the first year, but then people tell me, oh, you should never have sugars. Listen, I'm doing my thing. You do your thing. I can tell you it's worked for me. I feel great. And so I would encourage people to live their own life. Yeah, if you work for an employer, they have the company goals. But you should have your own goals for your own life. And it may not be popular with your family, your spouse, your neighbors, whatever. You need to say, no, I'm gonna do my life. Like I don't like when people say, I'm going to write a book. Oh, you can't write a book. No one in our family's ever written a book. Don't do that. What you should do is encourage people. Leave them better than when you found them. I find when I hang around people who are successful, they never say, oh, you still podcasting? You don't have a $100 million Spotify contract like Joe Rogan. They say, keep on going. If I say I'm going to really go hard on building my email newsletter, well, the people who are just waiting for the weekend, they're like, why bother? But if I talk to people who are successful, like, you keep on doing that. I'm cheering for you. And so I try to only hang around people who are encouraging me, and I encourage your audience, please take an inventory of who is influencing you, including social media, and start following people on social media and in real life who encourage you. It's really important.
Excellent advice. That's great. Where should people go to find more out about you and to listen to your podcast? And of course, I'll put the links in the show notes.
Really simple. MrProductivity.com, M-I-S-T-E-R, MrProductivity.com. There you can sign up for my free email newsletter, The Productive Life. You can find out where you can look up my podcast, which you could go to your favorite podcast player and just type in The Mr. Productivity Podcast. It'll pop right up. I've been doing it since 2017. You don't have to go to MarkSchuchesky.com anymore. Just go to MrProductivity.com. It's a lot easier. And like I said, I got Mr. Productivity trademark, so I'm really proud of that. No one else cares, but for me, it's like, oh, it's trademark. I had the TM next to my name. But yeah, MrProductivity.com is where everything you want to find out about is at.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mark. This has been great.
My pleasure.
What did I tell you? Did you enjoy this episode? Did you get some value out of it? If you did, if you got one takeaway that you think is going to help you improve your productivity or change your mindset, or maybe it's something that you're going to implement into your morning routine, send me a message. Drop me a DM at TheTerryHolland on Instagram and let me know what was your biggest takeaway from today, because I would love to hear from you. And of course, if you did get value out of today's show, share it with a friend who you think will also benefit. And of course, leave that 5-star review. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'll be back again on Thursday with another solo episode. Oh my goodness. And until then, have a great day. Bye for now.